Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 60, and today is Monday, July 2nd. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. Today's topic is coming from a question that I received via email from Mason. And at the end of the last episode in 59, I asked, if you had any questions or comments or thoughts, please let me know because it helps me to make the show more responsive and more interesting, hopefully. And, I got a variety of feedbacks. Thanks for that. Keep it up. Just, anything that you think would be interesting to discuss, please just let me know. I'm happy to work on it. And so basically what Mason asked is sort of what about the path from being a 9-to-5 kind of a job person to becoming independent. So obviously this is a developing perspective. A lot of what I talk about and a lot of my experience, probably moreover, is coming from the perspective of someone who is an independent developer, someone who sort of makes their living directly from their development, which is, from my perspective, which is the best way to make your living, and rather than being salaried, beholden, having all those kinds of challenges, to be able to just make your living doing what you love, to be responsible for that, to sort of enjoy fully the benefits and the income that that can give you, and, to enjoy that as that goes. But Mason was asking is essentially, how did I get here? And kind of what's the path from being a 9-to-5 developer, being someone who's working for someone else, and, archetypally working in a, working in a big software development shop, someone that makes software and you're working in a team of 5 or 6 people, how do you kind of turn that corner? There's a couple of ways that people, at least that I know of, become independent. So the first one is people kind of become independent because they have to. And this is usually that they get laid off. And it's in some ways, it's the easiest way to become independent is to lose your job. And then suddenly you are independent. Whether you like it or not, whether this is something that you would prefer or not, you're all of a sudden an independent person. If you're a developer, you're kind of an independent developer. Certainly not the easiest, most comfortable way to become independent. But it's something that I think if you are a developer who suddenly finds himself laid off, certainly thinking of yourself in that way, that you suddenly are going to have to market yourself, you're going to have to keep your skills up, you're going to have to do all these things sort of on your own, whether or not you're marketing yourself to find a new job or you're marketing yourself to find income either by consulting or by creating something that you can sell. Either way, you become the product that you're selling rather than working for a company that has a product that you are creating for. So that's kind of the one way to do it. The other way is you kind of just choose to do it. And, often I'll hear this from people who kind of get, sick and tired with their old job and decide, I don't want to work for the man anymore. I want to work for myself. And you kind of obviously, I think it's easy to get wrapped up in that and to think of it as more exciting than it actually turns out to be. Being independent is by no means easy. I think it's desirable, but that doesn't make it easy. That makes it worthwhile, maybe. And so, becoming independent that way is a little funny. It's kind of, it's a hard thing to, go to your boss and say, hey, I don't want that salary you've been paying me for the last couple of years. Please stop doing that. I'm going to go and try something else. That's probably maybe a little bit reckless. Maybe you can do it if you're sort of don't have a lot of, sort of a family or kids or responsibilities or those kinds of things. Generally speaking, for most people, that's a little rough. And so kind of what I'd recommend is if you want to go independent, at the end of the day, you're going to have to be motivated to make whatever it is that you're going to make. If you want to be an app developer or if you want to be a consultant, if you want to, make apps for other people but be doing it on kind of a contracting basis rather than an employment basis, you're going to have to get sort of good, used to and comfortable with selling yourself and selling the products that you make. And the best way to start is just to start. If you think it's going to be, certainly things to avoid is a mindset that, I have this great idea for an app, and if only I had time to work on it, it would be a big success. More often than not, in my experience, going to NS Coder Nights, meeting lots of people, it's not so much a question of time, so much as it is a question of eagerness, of motivation. And it's easy and nice to have kind of this unicorn off in the distance that you can say, if only I had time, I'd be very successful, my app would be awesome, and that'd be great. Because it's easy to then sort of neglect all of the work and the effort and the challenges that you would hit between starting and finishing that project. And so the first thing you just kind of have to get over and sort of understand is if you're going to be an independent, just start. Just start working on whatever it is you're doing, because if you're building a skill that's going to be useful for your current job, almost certainly, and even if it isn't, well, you know, you're certainly improving yourself in a general sense. So in that way, I'd say just start. I have some good friends of mine sort of treat their weekly NS Coder Night as that space for them where they can kind of tell their family, their wife, you know, hey, I'm going to this thing. And I'm going to work on my own stuff there. I'm going to work on my own apps. I'm going to work on learning new skills. And I'm going to work on building myself a reputation in the community. And that works pretty well. It kind of gives you a space and a definite schedule. And in general, it's like I've seen with the show, as soon as you give it something, a actual weekly schedule, your likelihood of you actually doing it increases dramatically. Your ability to kind of actually just be working on it, you know, whatever it is, once a week on Thursday nights, that's what I'm going to do. Because you notice if you miss. And I think that's the big difference often if you're like, oh, I'm going to work on it in my spare time. And that spare time is a totally ephemeral concept, that there's no real definite sense of what that means for it to be a, you know, sort of my spare time. Or it's Thursday night and I don't do it and that was the time that I was supposed to do it. I'll notice that. And I find that first personally very reinforcing. So that's kind of the first thing, kind of especially if you're heading in the app direction. But a lot of people, I'd say, for a lot of people, if you want to sort of be independent, or even if you just want to view it as you want to have a backup plan, I would say one of the best things you can do is to head towards being available and being ready for consulting. And consulting is, you know, a great thing in the sense that you can pick it up and put it down in many ways. You know, I've often seen people who do consulting just for a couple of months and then go back to being a regular employee, or they view consulting as a gateway to help them work on their own apps and have the income to support that. Consulting is great because you are taking something, a scarce resource of yours, typically your time, and just putting a dollar amount on that and then putting that on the market and seeing what people are willing to pay for it. And so sort of consulting is really nice in that way because it's a very limited and obvious thing. You know, developing an application is great in that you take this time that you have and you put it into something, and then you kind of have the opportunity to get return from that in the future. As time progresses, you can continue to get money from time you've put in the past, which is great. And, you know, having passive income is awesome. As someone, you know, who has some of that, it is super cool. But it's also incredibly hard to get. And so just kind of having this very direct relationship between your time and your money is pretty cool. And, you know, as an iOS developer, I can say there's a pretty good market for iOS development in the U.S. And around the world, I suspect, but I can only sort of speak in the U.S., that if you're a developer with, you know, some pretty good chops, if you know what you're doing, you know, you can, you know, sort of command pretty reasonable consulting rates, which is kind of awesome if you want to be a, sort of head down that path. How do you get that first job? How do you get, how do you get into consulting? And I think a lot of that's just a question of starting with, you just have to kind of start. You just kind of have to put your name out there. You're putting your name out on Twitter. You're going to local user groups. You are talking at conferences. You're writing books. You're doing whatever you can to make yourself known, make it known in the world that, hey, I know what I'm talking about, and I'm available to, you know, make that next app for you, to make that next thing. I'd say NS Coder Nights or equivalents, which if you're not familiar with, an NS Coder Night is usually a weekly thing. It's kind of informal. They have meetups all over the country and probably all over the world, where it's just kind of, you know, Cocoa developers getting together to talk, talk about what's going on, just hang out. Like my local one is just at a La Madeleine, which is like a French coffee house / bistro place. And they just get together and they hang out and they talk. Another thing that's kind of similar to that you'll have in a lot of places is a thing called Cocoa Heads, which is a similar thing that's usually on a monthly basis, and that's usually a bit more formal with like a presentation and a talk. But going to these kind of things and meeting the local people, one thing that I found very often with consulting is people are far more likely to hire an unknown or a starting out developer that is local to them. It's usually much easier if you're trying to find consulting work to find someone local to wherever you are, whether that's a local business, whether that's a local consulting firm for you to subcontract through, or whatever. It takes a lot of the risk out versus if you're kind of putting your name out on what Elance or, I don't know, all these weird websites where you're kind of competing against people all over the world and you're competing against the guy in, you know, Romania who can work for $10 an hour and make a lot of, you know, sort of that be cool for him or whatever. Like, that's a really difficult thing. But if you can, you know, sit down in a room with somebody, shake their hand and talk to them, and they can kind of feel that connection and that sense that you're not going to just sort of disappear, or that, you know, if something goes weird or something goes wrong, they can actually just reach out to you and be like, hey, so that thing you did, it's not really working or whatever. Like, you know, there's something there that I've definitely seen that to be a great way to kind of get your foot in the door. So that's kind of those things. And for me, my path, which is, I think, sort of part of what Mason was asking about, it follows a lot of this. So my path was, I was a regular 9-to-5 developer. And then I had an opportunity to do a consulting gig. It kind of came out of nowhere. And so it's not necessarily a good thing for reproducing. But like basically my wife's company needed a Rails developer at the time. And she, you know, so it had nothing to do with Rails. Like she works for an HR consulting company. But they just had a project that they needed a web developer for. And kind of just put out a company-wide email that says, hey, does anybody know anybody? And at the time I was a little bit bored in my job. I wasn't sort of upset or unhappy, but I was a little bored. And so my wife was like, hey, I got an email, you know, sort of on the company-wide thing saying they're looking for a Rails developer. Are you interested? And I said, oh, sure. You know, sort of looked into the details, and it just kind of worked. And so I went independent, so I quit my job. And the nice thing with that is it was like, you know, it's a set project for 6 or 7 months. And so it kind of gave me a long enough time to kind of get my feet out, you know, sort of try it out, see if I liked it. And I did. And so I've kind of been roughly independent ever since. I've had one little stint since then when I worked for one of my consultants. They wanted to hire me on as a full-time employee. It didn't quite work out. So I went back to consulting. But consulting, you just kind of – the amazing thing is very often if you do good work, consulting is very self-sustaining in the sense that your clients almost always – you're building something that then needs to be maintained, that needs to be extended, that needs to be, you know, further worked on. And so most often I just, you know, follow-on work from follow-on work from follow-on work. You know, especially if you're just one guy, it's very easy for that to keep you busy the entire time. And so that's kind of my path. And then what I found into getting into apps, and this is the advice I've given to dozens of people, and it seems – a lot of people – it seems to sort of work with them, is if you want to – say if you're an independent consultant and you want to get into apps, what I recommend you do is you kind of start treating your apps as a client. And by that I mean, you know, if you're a consultant who typically whatever it is, you know, you work 40 hours a week at $100 an hour, you know, you're kind of targeting to hit whatever that is, $4,000 a week, like in terms of gross income, not talking about expenses or anything, but say like just sort of numbers to work with, nice big round numbers. And if that's what you're doing, what I find doing is like start working on an app in your sort of in your spare time, like I was talking about before, at your honest coder night, on vacation, if you have some dead time between client work where you can't do anything else, pick up an app project and work on it and get it in the store, you know, ship that thing, really work on getting it out the door, even if it's really small and focused. And then take the money that you get from that, anything at all that you get, and view that as a client of yours who's paying you to keep working on apps. So even if you start off and your first app doesn't do very well, say it starts making you a couple bucks a day. Say it makes you $5 a day, $10 a day. It's like, okay, well, say at $10 a day, it's like every 10 days you just bought an hour of your time. And that's not great at first, but if you view it that way and you kind of build up this repertoire of money that you're going to say is paying you, it tends to snowball because suddenly now – whatever it is, even if you have that 1 hour every 10 days or whatever, you make good use of that. You make focused use of that because it's a limited resource. And then maybe that becomes, you know, $20 a day. Maybe that becomes $30 a day. Maybe it becomes $100 a day. And suddenly you start having this ability to be shifting your time and your attention away from apps without having to sort of take a pay cut, without having to take much of a risk, because it just builds over time. And for me, that worked. That's how I got into apps. And gradually, at some point, I hit the point that my apps were paying better than my consultancy projects. And so I stopped doing most of my consulting. And that won't happen for everybody, but I think that's a pretty good pattern, you know, to see if your apps are successful and viable. They'll start paying for you and start paying for their time. All right, so that's kind of a little bit of a you know, round and around topic, but hopefully that's helpful. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, hit me up on Twitter. I'm _David Smith. The Twitter feed for the show is @DevPerspective. And otherwise, hope you have a good week, happy coding, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.